You're listening to Economics of Place, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Dan Gilmartin.
Welcome back to another episode of the Economics of Place podcast. I'm Dan Gilmartin, and I'm joined today by Mike Bills. Mike is the president, proprietor, owner, founder, all that good stuff of Mike Bills Strategies, which is a Williamston-based leadership program. Mike does a lot of work with a whole bunch of different folks working on organizational issues and trying to help leaders be better leaders, whether they be in business or academia or government, you name it. Mike, welcome.
Oh, well, thank you, Dan. I really appreciate the invitation to be a part of your podcast today.
Great. So do a better job than I just did of describing your business.
Well, MB Strategies is kind of, in a nutshell, executive coaching, strategic planning, and the introduction of new thought, which I think is step one. We've also been able to develop this new energy called Pure Reinvention. And Pure Reinvention is where we get emerging or different thought leaders together to really study some of the new things that are happening in leadership development and doing it in a way, Dan, that actually flips the classroom. Instead of sitting people down in front of a PowerPoint, we actually put them, immerse them into the experience and let them discover for themselves the takeaway leadership lessons that are most meaningful to them.
Well, now, is there any, do you see any trends right now in leadership, especially as it pertains to local governments and governments in general? Is leadership a static thing that you teach it 100 years ago, you teach it 100 years from now, it's the same thing? Or is it something that evolves?
Well, that's a really great thought, because I think in many ways, leadership divides itself into two different ways. One is that more administrative leadership or operational leadership. And we need those leaders who are responsible for maintaining the integrity of something and making sure things run on time to make sure that people follow the rules. And then we have this whole emerging opportunity to think about the world in a different way. And it's been introduced to us by the new trends that Amazon has been able to bring forward and apply those lessons learned to things like municipal government, to things that may be struggling a little bit, trying to find its next place, and use those new thought processes to try to think about how do we apply them in increasing the performance of things that we're working with today. It's very exciting times.
Yeah, I imagine it would be. And so I know you have done a lot of work with us here, and you've been a real help to this organization, to me, in terms of helping me think more strategically about resources inside the league. And then I know you've also gone outside here and sort of advanced, and you've worked with a whole bunch of different local officials throughout the state, whether it be elected or appointed and in different capacities, and a lot of different associations. They do a lot of work there. If you say, what makes a good local government leader? Is there a blueprint, or is it more amorphous than that?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, and it has more to do with kind of the internal DNA of the individual that's involved. But what we've seemed to find, especially with the emerging new leadership that's coming, is the expectation that the entity, in this case municipal government, is going to deliver something different than what it historically has in the past. So where historically in the past people might enter local government to be an administrator of the rules that are already on the books, we now have this group of leaders coming into the entity and asking questions like, why is this rule on the books? And how do we begin to use new technologies and new opportunities to change the pattern in which we do things? I'll give you an example. In my local township, in the last year, we were going to put a new roof on our house. Well, I didn't, you know, we don't, that's not something you do on a routine basis, right? So, you know, a couple of days beforehand, I went down to the township to tell them, you know, it kind of dawned on me I might need a permit to do that. So I you know, went down to the township office, let them know I was going to do it. And they let me know that would, you know, in 2 weeks, I'd get a letter back that approved it. And I said, well, that's not going to work out very well because we're going to start on Saturday. And this was on a Thursday. Well, when the roofers came, they had some familiarity with what the approval process was like, and basically it was very interesting as I watched this. They basically just took pictures after they took the shingles off. They took pictures of the decking, sent it to the supervisor or the whoever approves that stuff.
Right.
But it was the use of new technology.
Right.
And instead of the old, you know, paper going back and forth and via passenger pigeon or however however it's done and, you know, kind of the way we've always done it, mm-hmm. we were able to use this new technology and the approval process was quickly changed and everybody was very happy. But it wasn't the way the typical administrative process worked. And yet it worked marvelously. And I think that's just a small example of how we begin to use new expectations and apply them in different ways. And it begins to make more sense to the whole new emerging population of people that are going to be working with townships and local governments and local municipalities going forward, not backwards.
Yeah. And so is that a personality type of someone that who you know, starts off looking for something different, or is it a learned experience, or is it just keeping up with the times? When you talk about sort of the, you know, we you know, sort of the chief problem solver versus the head rule enforcer, is that they seem like two different people to me, but my guess is there's some capacity to go back and forth.
They probably, for the most part, are one or the other. There is a, I think when you think about leadership, there is this group of people that really truly want to make a difference and want to be influencers within the entity that they're influencing. So in local communities, mm-hmm. I think you have a group of people that maybe are mobilized because of an issue, something that kind of got local government on their radar. But we hopefully are able to develop those leaders to take a broad approach to what their role in government is and how you influence and how you lead as opposed to specific problem solvers. We might have gotten to the table because something struck us
sure.
that was important to deal with. But
the disruption, right?
But the disruption. But true leaders are those who have the ability to take that disruption and then move it to leaving the world in a better place than how they found it. And that's very difficult for people because I think for most of us, we're trained in leaving things alone and not messing with things or disrupting things. But I think through the course of history, we've seen that some of the greatest advancements we have had has been a little bit of, has had some friction involved right. and has the ability to create the energy necessary to make things better.
Yeah, so let's stick on that word for a second, disruption, because I think if you asked, you know, 100 Americans disruption, I said, describe the word disruption, good or bad, most of them would say bad.
Absolutely.
And the way you're talking about it, it's a good thing or could be a good thing.
Right.
So how you deal with that disruption is perhaps whether you're a leader or not a leader. So tell me a little bit about that, because in local government, there's been no shortage of disruption.
Right.
We've had financial issues and we've had changing economic conditions, people wanting different services from their government. Nobody wants to pay for anything anymore. I mean, if you're looking for disruptions, we've got disruptions. And so how are some good leaders in local government dealing with those as opposed to those that are struggling a little bit
oh,
more?
Oh, yes. A lot of my background has been in agriculture. And so I view disruption as a very positive thing because disruption to me means we've taken a field, for example, and we've plowed it and we've disked it and we've prepared it for a new crop. And to me, when I hear disruption, I think about a seedbed ready to plant new seeds and to grow new things. I don't view disruption as something terrible. I view it as we are creating the seedbed of new thought necessary to grow new ideas, to grow new results, to have new things happen that are of a benefit to the population of people that we're dealing with. So I, unlike most people, view disruption as a necessary part of how we grow new ideas and how we grow new opportunities, because that's where those seeds will find fertile nourishment.
Yeah. So, you know, again, city's biggest employer picks up and goes somewhere else. And
huge disruption.
Huge disruption, certainly a negative one at the onset, but it's a chance to think differently about things. It's a chance to reinvent, as you would say, what mm-hmm. we do. And the farmer thing is an issue, or agriculture is an interesting example of that. Going back to the Dust Bowl and some others, we got in trouble because we weren't disrupting. We were doing the same thing over and over
exactly.
and over again.
Exactly.
And we're 80 years later, whatever, still trying to teach people how to properly mm-hmm. sow the land, if you will. And it's sort of the same thing in cities as well, and probably the same thing in business and academia and you name it, right?
Right. Well, so you use your example. We have a large employer contributes a large tax base dollars into the local economy,
right.
and through through forces that are beyond us,
right.
their business model changes and they're no longer there. I think what happens in a lot of people's cases is they just bemoan the fact that they're gone, and
right.
they wish for something like that to come back and take its place. And the disruptive leader or the future leader looks at that space, looks at that as an opportunity to say, what else can we do with this space? What else can we do with what's here? How do we look at this in a different way? How do we attract in a new way of thinking where people can collaborate and think through what should we be doing with this space? How does this start to? And so, I mean, let's use even malls as an example. Malls in many cities are really struggling,
right.
in some cases. And really, in fact, people have said to me, you know, malls have just become a place for the senior citizens to walk. I mean, that's basically what we see. The teenagers are hanging out there, but the traditional retailers are not there anymore. There's all sorts of other things there. If you really look at the trend that's unfolding in a lot of malls, what you're seeing is a new community that's starting to come forward. There's starting to be restaurants. There's starting to be fitness centers. There's starting
housing.
Recreation. Yeah. So then as you say, okay, how do I look at this different? If this is the emergence of a juvenile community, then how do I build on this? Is maybe this isn't going to be a centerpiece of retail like mm-hmm. it was in the past, but it actually becomes the new emerging next community where like-minded individuals, whether it's seniors, whether it's having different kinds of interests, are attracted into and collide in this center space, right? Where all of a sudden people can live in a space like this, especially if you build up, and then all of a sudden they go downstairs and they have multiple places to choose,
right.
to eat and recreate and enjoy, and they haven't had to go outside. And that seems to be an environment that many are trying to duplicate now, where they kind of are a self-contained little community.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up that point. Just in the last couple of weeks, some of the conversations I've had on successive days have been with the mayor of Westland dealing with this issue, the mm-hmm. city manager from Sterling Heights, council member from Birmingham, all working on sort of this dead or dying mall issue, and some really interesting concepts coming out. Because, you know, in our city, I like to say that 99% of our cities are 99% developed. Well, a lot of them have 30, 40, 50, 80 acres sitting in the middle of town tied up in a mall that's not working anymore. And that kind of stinks. But boy, that's a chance to reinvent your town.
Exactly.
Because you don't have that kind of land anywhere else.
And so instead of trying to put new retailers into a space that ultimately is trying to be something else,
right.
let it be something else. Let it be what it's telling you that it wants to be. And I really have to give credit to those leaders. This is not my thought, but to give credit to leaders who stepped back and looked at what was really happening
sure.
in those malls and began to recognize it was a community. And it was evolving into that. And I think now we just, as elected leaders, have to allow it or encourage it or do the things necessary to support that. And perhaps what it's trying to do is it's teaching us a new way to look at those spaces. And maybe we're going to see these spaces all over as we have the need to recreate smaller micro communities within our communities. And I'm not sure there's anything wrong with that. But I think what's been difficult sometimes is to teach people to listen or observe what the entity is trying to teach you.
Right.
And that, to me, becomes a really powerful leadership lesson, is to ask the leader or to develop as a leader the ability to use your eyes and your other senses to take in and understand what that thing is really doing.
Right.
And then be able to respond as it's teaching you what it needs.
Sure. Sure. So back to the word disruption again. So again, I said it wasn't necessarily negative. And then we just took, you know, dying malls and big employers leaving town. But
yeah.
Okay, big employer coming to town,
mm-hmm.
big opportunity happening in your community, lots of new homes being built, whatever. Those are disruptions as well. They're more fun. You cut ribbons at these disruptions and you add to your bottom lines at these disruptions. But they change your community forever as well. Is there, obviously there's a different mindset in dealing with something positive that way than it's dealing with a crisis, but that really, you need a lot of leadership to steer that sucker in the right direction too, don't you?
Yes, you do, because disruption...
Because we're seeing more of that in our communities now.
We are, but we're seeing it because I think of the economic uncertainty that exists. So we're trying to figure out how to restabilize communities, and the very word disruption means we're losing some of our stability. So we laid out these communities, right, in a nice little grid, and everything was supposed to be organized and everything was supposed to be nice until the world started to really be disruptive itself. And then once the world became disruptive with new technologies and the new ways in which we just kind of view what the world should be, we start to need different things. And so all of a sudden this nice little grid that we laid out of everybody being happy and wanting the same things completely changed. And so how do we embrace the diversity and the inclusion necessary to have really healthy communities when our idea of a lack of disruption is everything has to be the same? And so disruption, the very word disruption, means things are different. How do leaders embrace the fact that the very difference that we have and bring is exactly what we need to succeed? And that becomes the challenge for municipal leaders, is to take all these differences and bring them in a way that everything has value and every different way in which we do things is okay and encouraged.
Right.
Not from a legal, illegal standpoint, but from a healthy ecosystem, which means you can't have the same things. And I will challenge you that many of our cities, many of our companies that are struggling have become an unhealthy ecosystem. They had too much of the same thing, and they did not have the ability to support themselves through, if we go back and look at our basic biology lessons and really understand what a healthy ecosystem looks like and apply that to municipalities or apply that to business, we'll find that we have discouraged the differences necessary for a healthy ecosystem.
Okay. One of the other things that we've talked about from time to time that I think is important when we're talking about leadership is, we just talked about the disruption and using what you've got in front of you. We've mentioned the concept of having some ambition around wanting to get somewhere. It's tough to lead if you don't have anywhere you're trying to get to. And one of the things you talk about a lot and I think is important, especially as we look at, quite frankly, government today, federal level, state level, local level, wherever, and that's the concept of ownership, of leaders truly owning issues in front of them, owning their leadership style, owning the issues that confront them, owning the position that they're in. If you're a city manager, if you're a village president, if you're a member of council, and taking that responsibility seriously and owning what you do. Tell us why ownership is something that I know is paramount to your thinking when you work with folks and why it's so important to leaders.
We do encourage ownership. Ownership is a very important word. We do a terrible job today of teaching people what ownership really is. Everything that we
teach them how to point fingers.
Everything we teach is about pointing blame, or in the case of most of what our educational system is, it's fitting into a system that is already predetermined. And quite honestly, ownership is about taking a look at something and taking care of it and creating it, helping it to be healthy, helping it be successful. And in many cases, a leader might have to actually take something that's not very healthy and own the fact that you're going to make it more healthy. And so therefore, it means there will be some disruption. There will be some change. There will be some unhappy people. There will be some people along the way who have as their paramount need to keep things the same, which, by the way, if you really own something and you really care about it, you don't want it to stay the same, because the same means it will die.
Right.
So the ownership has to be in discovering what it's going to take, what is it going to be necessary to allow this entity that I'm owning to flourish? What are the traits that we're missing? What are the things that we need? And how do we put them on a continuum of positive change so that on a regular basis we continue to stay in an evolutionary state, in an adaptive state, always leaning towards a bright and successful future. And in many cases, what we see in the lack of ownership is administrators. They're owning what we used to do. They are not owning where we need to go. They're not owning what would make us healthy. They're not owning what changes do we need to make in order to be a sustainable community that would be attractive for multiple generations. And whether we're talking about our state, whether we're talking about our city, whether we're talking about a company struggling or an association struggling, this is what's interesting, Dan. The answers all lie within the entity. But if you're really going to make a change, you have to own whatever those answers are, and you have to be willing to go on that journey to make it healthy again.
And again, too, so let's talk that through. So let's say you've got a 7-member council. Can't do anything. You're one of the members on that council. You can't do anything without a 4-member majority. Mm-hmm. So we sort of teach our folks. It's like, you know, you get elected as an individual, then you get on there. It's like, okay, we're all sitting together. If I can't get 3 of my colleagues of the 7 to say that we should pave this street or we should build this building or we should, you know, open this arena or whatever it is that they're dealing with, then we can't move forward. So talk to me about those folks. That, how do you own that? You're obviously trying to influence folks about what's going on, but true ownership of something you believe in that sort of legislative, small L, world where you can't do it by yourself. You got to have other people with you. Talk me through that.
I think that's where the true leader begins to shine because, you know, if it were obvious to everybody that you just were able to make some statement and everybody agreed and raised their hand and you had 7 people all say, that would be the perfect world. But the reality is most people are most comfortable staying where they are and where they've been. And so how to move an entity forward is a one step at a time. And so you look at the person that's sitting next to you, or you identify with someone who has the probability to be able to kind of begin to shift their way of thinking. And you appeal to the fact that as owners of this entity, as owners of this municipality, we have a responsibility to keep it healthy and to help it be healthy. And so you appeal to this higher sense of why we're sitting here. And we have to then find those individuals, recruit those individuals that are able to think in terms of how does the changes that we're talking about help us be successful. And those are not easy conversations to have, but they happen one person at a time, sometimes one issue at a time, until you begin to build a new way of thinking. Nothing happens overnight. And so to think as a leader that you're just all of a sudden going to be on council and things are going to change, that's really when your work begins. And you find ways in which, and I've heard you say this, and I think this is absolutely right, you find ways in which the common vision brings everyone together. And the more opportunities that you learn as a collaborative leader to find those areas where we all agree on getting to the same place, even though we might have different ways of getting there, we start to focus on why we're going there, not how we're getting there. And then the journey of how you get there starts to make more sense.
Right.
Because as a group, you've been able to define, we all agree on where we want to go. Now let's find the right pathway.
Yeah, so I'm talking with a group of local elected officials, newly elected officials that we gather every... Are we in late winter, early spring? I can't call it early spring yet.
Yeah, I hope so.
We're in late winter here. We gather them. They get elected in November. Some of them take seats right away. Others not until January. So we offer them all to come in for a couple of days. And I'm talking to them about leadership for about an hour and a half.
Well, lucky them.
Give me the 30-second message on what you'd like my message to be to them. What would your message be to them about being good leaders in their towns, whether they're tiny little villages or big cities?
I think the lesson of leadership that I've learned over a period of time, and I would share with anyone that asked, is one person makes a difference. I think sometimes we think that it's got to be this big, huge, expansive way in which change takes place. And quite honestly, one person with a great deal of passion, which honestly translates to ownership mm-hmm. and a strong vision of why, has the opportunity to influence a lot of people. And so I am a huge believer in that one person can make a difference. It's why, by the way, we have kind of elected officials is because somebody had thought you were of value enough to put you into an elected position. Right. So congratulations on being Absolutely. At that level. And then, but secondly, remember now that you're in this new population of people, they're also going to kind of break down into those people who are good innovative leaders and be one of those innovative leaders and bring not the confliction that we tend to see now, but that collaborative leader of what is it we're trying to truly accomplish and do that. Right? Be that person who has that vision. Be that person who can start to communicate a city in a better place. Be that person who can begin to describe and paint that picture of where we want to go. That's a trait that not a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. But those who have that trait, if they're in positions of local government, who can begin to start to outline what that place should look like, all of a sudden will have followers. Right. Not only will they have followers within the constituency that elected them, they will have followers on the council in which they're participating. Now we start to make a difference.
Yeah, we're wrapping up here with Mike Bills from MB Strategies. And Mike, I know one of the things you do that I've had the opportunity to be a part of in the past, I think as an attendee and as a presenter is programming you do around the state on getting folks to think a little bit differently about leadership. So if folks are interested in checking in on that, tell us what you've got coming up.
May 21st in Detroit. It's called Connect Detroit. And one of the ways in which we think future leaders like to learn is being immersed into experiences rather than tell. So once a year, we get 50 good leaders together to experience some incredible things that are happening to kind of stimulate thought as to how they can take some of these ideas back home. You can find more information about this at www.purereinvention.com. That's all one word, purereinvention.com. But we really strongly believe in the opportunities of the future and allowing people to discover those. Mm-hmm. That discovery, Dan, is what allows people to own their own ideas and bring those ideas forward to make considerable change, whether it's organizationally, whether it's politically. We've found that when people get excited about something that they can own, they can really make a difference, and they find that ownership traction when they attend an event like that hosted by Pure Reinvention. So Connect Detroit. May 21st. You can find it on our website. Be one of those first 50 leaders to sign up.
Great. Great program and certainly worth people's time to get down there and discover for themselves with leaders from across the state. So we've talked with Mike Bills from Mike Bills for MB Strategies here today. I bet you the MB stands for Mike Bills.
Right? Yeah, thank you.
Look how smart I am. thinking a little bit more about leadership and what it means to local communities here in Michigan, I think it's a really important time for us. It has been for a while as we've gone through some really difficult times, but there's things happening in communities. There's a lot more energy out there right now. There's some programming's changing at the state level, at the federal level. And I think if you're in local government now and for the next 10 years, your leadership skills will be tested. So let's make sure that as best we can, we're up for the challenges for our communities, for the people who live there, and really for the entire state of Michigan because we're a collection of our places. So thank you, Mike, for being with us, and thank you for listening on another podcast of the Economics of Place. Until next time, go out there and lead your way to wherever it is you're going. Thanks a lot for listening.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.